The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
Hey, welcome in. 6:05. That means it's time for the opening kickoff. Mark Heim and Lee Shervanian broadcasting from the studios of WNSP, located right there on Dolphin and Elk out there street. We are with you for the next 3 hours right here on the sports station WNSP.
Good morning. You didn't even say hello to me and say good morning. What's the matter?
It's rare.
Thank you.
Generally, for those that don't have radio vision, Lee comes in right as we're getting ready to start. We don't have time to catch up. As it turns out today, we talked for a good 5 minutes, so I felt like we'd already started.
We
should take the last 5 minutes of the show off.
Or replay. We started early. Or replay the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Ben, good morning.
Hey, Ben. How are you? Good to see you, Benny.
It is. It really is. He always comes in here in time. I appreciate that. Mark, good morning to you. Thank you
now
for the cherry limeade.
Now that you said that, he's going to be late. He's going to be late tomorrow.
No, he's not. He's got a timepiece. He's got that alarm clock.
Timepiece? What is he, 1920s? Check that little vest pocket of yours and see if you got your timepiece that Grandpa left you.
Oh, I can't wait for the start of the – and give me a chance to – because I'm being facetious
on this. The first segment
and
a half is generally yours anyway.
The baseball season, the owners have approved a plan – can't wait. 82-game schedule. DH, both National League, American League, start around July 4th. Let me see what else. You play, all right, if you're the Braves, you play everybody in your division and everybody in the American League Eastern Division. In other words, keeping it very regional. If you're, let's say, the Dodgers, you would play everybody in your Western Division and everybody in the American League West. It sounds exciting, doesn't it? The roster will be 30 players with a taxi squad of another 20. You'll play in venues, stadiums that are approved by federal government and health officials. My gosh, it seems like they're ready to steamroll ahead, get Major League Baseball going, be the first team Major League sports to get back on the map. The game will be all theirs because you don't have the NBA, you don't have the National Hockey League, you don't have the NFL, you don't have college football. It'll be all on baseball, right? Wrong. It's not going to happen.
Why not?
Here's what's going to happen today. The owners approved the plan. And I'm telling you, if this goes, and this is my convoluted way of looking at this, this could really hurt baseball immeasurably. And I'm not even talking about the health concerns, okay? Because there's that. Let's not overlook that, Mark. All right, the owners approve the plan, but what it does in the old fine print, the little print we'd never seen, how many times have not you but me have been hurt by not looking at the fine print? Anyway, there is a clause in there, revenue sharing, 50-50. Players 50, owners 50. Baseball does not have a cap. They're the only team sport without a cap. The players' union, the strongest union going, has fought this tooth and nail over the years. They will reject this plan today. And so what's going to happen, and again, I hope I'm wrong on this, but all sources indicate they will reject the plan because they do not want revenue sharing. They claim that there was already economics in place a couple of months ago. Now, the owners, and I understand where they're coming from, too. You're going to have games in stadiums with no fans, no parking, no concessions.
Right.
They're looking at the money they're going to lose, Mark, and they're saying, look, we're in dire situation here. We're going to lose a lot of money, so let's update this, and we're going to have revenue sharing, which the union looks at as like a cap, and they do not want a cap. They don't want to be put in a position like the NFL and the NBA where you have a cap system. Baseball, the Players Association has avoided it. So this is what's going to happen. They're not going to approve this today, and this is going to become a money situation. And the last thing this public wants to hear about in this dire need of families struggling to survive is a money battle going on between billionaires and millionaires. That could just about kill the sport, in my opinion. Now, I'm being, I'm over the top on this. I'm exaggerating a little bit, Mark. Now, I may be wrong. Maybe the Players Association will have a heart and say, yeah, we understand just for this 1 year, I understand that because of, you know, the financial constraints and things like that. And that, and again, we're overlooking the health concerns too. Players are, you know, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to be too excited to come back in July. I may be wrong on that. But if this thing gets rejected and this becomes a battle between the Players Association and the owners, it's going to kill the whole season. And then it might be reflected into years to come, because you know what happened the last time they went on strike in 94? Well, a return Michael Jordan to basketball. That was one good thing, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's my take on that, Mark.
So what would it take for them to approve this deal?
Baseball's going to, the owners are going to have to back away from this 50-50 revenue thing.
And say what? Like, what do they do? 70-30? For the players?
No, they don't want any. The players do not want revenue sharing. They just want it left alone. Back in, I guess, a couple of months ago, the owners said, okay, we're going to give the players this amount of money because they were looking down the road if we ever get back. So they had set already guidelines for what they were going to give, you know, the players and so forth. Yeah, a set amount. The union says, look, they do not want any indication of a cap, which they consider revenue sharing to be a cap. And as you know, the NFL, NBA, and the other leagues have it. That's why they're the strongest union going, Mark, because there is no cap in baseball. I understand it, but the union in this case should back off and say, for this one year, which who saw this coming, you know, maybe go along with this, but they're not going to. I think the union leaders already said we're going to reject it, so it's up to the players now. So we'll see what happens, Mark. It's just something that's going to be a story today, a headline story. And if it gets defeated, what are you going to do, go back to the negotiating table and go back and forth on this? And this is certainly not what the public wants to hear about right now. Not at all.
So where do you guys stand? Are you I'm kind of with Lee on this one. I think at some point you kind of have to bend to get this season off the ground. And I'd say this if this were baseball, NFL, basketball, whatever. If the important thing, and you know, the funny thing is we're sitting here talking about all these different things that could happen under this plan, but we haven't talked about the safety of the players or what if somebody winds up coming down with the COVID-19. What does that do to this 82-game schedule? Do you cancel games that the upcoming game? Obviously, that player has to sit and quarantine. Does he have to quarantine his players or his teammates? Does that mean that the last team that you just played has to quarantine their players? Does that mean that you cancel the next two games? Like, what? How does that happen? How does that happen?
And it will happen. It will. And how about testing? How often are they going to test?
Yeah, so Fauci talked to Peter King, I think it was.
Yeah, he did, Fauci.
Yeah, and was talking about football specifically. And he said, ideally, the only way to do this is to test every day, which, of course, is not very realistic. He even said it's not practical. You would test every day, and if you were negative, boom, you played. If you didn't, boom, you sat the bench, and that was the day of the game. He said, and even then, there's no guarantee that this virus wouldn't spread. He said if the league was supposed to start today, and he was talking about the NFL, he said it would be, quote, impossible. He said, now that may change come September, but he didn't sound too optimistic.
And I'm not going to be optimistic about baseball returning in July, Mark. I'm not. I think it's too soon. I really do. I think things are happening too quickly. Just me. I'm paranoid. I'm a little, you know, I'm concerned, maybe because of my age. You know, we had Tommy Prater remind everybody that I'm the elderly. So perhaps, you know, that has something to do with it also. You know, it was interesting as we talk about stay at home and so forth. And you've been out on the streets. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot more cars out there now.
Yeah.
I mean, especially I happened to be driving in the afternoon yesterday, and it's back to normal as far as I'm concerned with traffic and everything.
Well, it's like everything else. It's fatigue, right? We talk about SEC fatigue or Alabama fatigue. Well, right now there's quarantine fatigue. There's coronavirus fatigue. We've heard about it. We've been beat over the head with it for the last, 6 weeks or whatever it's been. People are kind of at the point, and tell me if I'm wrong. I know you guys normally do tell me when I'm wrong, but how many of y'all are just like, you know what? Screw it. If I get it, I get it at this point, but I'm getting out of the house.
Oh, gosh. Don't even say that.
But like, how many people are? I mean, You and I are fairly lucky because our day-to-day lives haven't been changed as much as other people.
That's true.
My wife, my kids, their lives have been turned upside down. My day, with the exception of going to see my kids play basketball or running to the store every other day, has not changed all that dramatically. But a lot of people's have. And because of that, they're just done.
That's a very good point because I don't have fatigue quarantine because usually I'd come to the station. The only thing I'm missing out right now is working out at a health club. That's the only thing that I would be doing had we not had the COVID-19. There's a story out there that baffles me, you know, with the stay-at-home orders and all that kind of stuff. Over the weekend in Missouri, near the St. Louis area, they held a youth baseball tournament, Mark. Over 550 young kids between 7 and 14 participated. Now they said, well, the umpires were 6 feet behind the catcher. Big deal. There were only three per dugout, you know, but still, 550 youngsters participating in a two-area baseball tournament. So, obviously, there's a lot of people out there who just, you're right, they don't care. I see it. I have to, there's people I say, look, you know, you're not being careful enough. I've had friends of mine tell me, people are in the know, the medical industry, you don't want this. I'm telling you, you don't want this virus. It's terrible what it does to your body. So that, you know, yes, I'm a little more paranoid than most people.
All right, it's 6:17. So let's get you a scoreboard, traffic, and weather. Mike Tyson released this video stating he's back. He has indicated that there's a chance that he would do some boxing again. Kind of begs the question, if you could pick one athlete, retired athlete, present or past, who may have died, who's the one guy or the one woman, the one athlete you'd want to see play at their peak one more time? In fact, we'll get specific. What Alabama player, football player, what Auburn player would you want to see play another game at peak physical condition? And then what other athlete out there?
Michael Jordan.
You'd want to see Michael Jordan play. I feel like we've seen a lot of Michael Jordan.
I watched the reruns of it yesterday again. I can't get enough of it, Mark. I'm sorry.
All right, so hit us up in the app at WNSP.com. We'll take your calls when we come back on that topic. We'll also set the table for the rest of the day. So we're just getting rolling here. It's a Tuesday edition. It's the opening kickoff right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Hi, I'm former Major League Baseball player Bernie Carbo. I listen to WNSP 105.5. Love every minute of it.
Welcome back in the opening kickoff. Mark Heim, Lee Shervanian with you right here on the sports station WNSP. All right, let me tell you what's coming up today. Bernie Carbo will join us at 6:30. We'll get his take on what the proposed plan to bring baseball back means. We'll do our spring sports report. Arthur Cox, Baldwin County softball, will join us at 6:50. Travis Ryer will join us at 7:05. Larry Thomas, formerly of the Birmingham Barons, will join us. He played with Michael Jordan. The Barons were, again, part of the Last Dance on Sunday, so we will get yet another perspective on Michael Jordan's baseball playing days. Reggie Copeland at 8:05. I'm not sure there's another man that's done more for this city than Reggie Copeland. He is being inducted into yet another Hall of Fame. The former high school and SEC official will join us here at 8:05. And then Orlando Alzigari will join us at 8:35. I wonder if he's got a Tua jersey yet. Apparently Tua's got the two top selling jerseys.
Does that
jerseys.
Surprise you a bit? Why wouldn't Joe Burrow? Why wouldn't Joe Burrow have the top? Or is there more money to spend down in Miami than there is in Cincinnati?
That's a good question. It seems like Joe Burrow. And then where?
How could Tua's jersey outsell Tom Brady? Has there been a bigger story in sports than Brady going to Tampa? I don't know the answer to it. I'm just throwing that out.
What surprises you more, Tua's jersey outselling Brady or Tua's jersey outselling Burrow?
And not only that, but it's not just that Tua's number two jersey. Or no, what's he got, two or one?
He's number one.
Number one. Okay, where I got confused. two of his jerseys are outselling Brady. He's got two different ones.
Right.
The aqua color Miami and then the home white. Both of his jerseys are outselling Brady right now. Think about that.
I've never bought a jersey.
I've never bought a jersey, so I'm not one to figure this one out.
I'm not surprised he's outselling Brady. I might be a little surprised he's outselling Burrow, because you got to assume that both the states of Alabama and Louisiana are buying Burrow and Tua jerseys, right, respectively, and that their new markets are selling those. I guess Miami, because they're starving for a quarterback, like they've always been starving for a quarterback.
Well, but you know, here's the deal, too. I could take it from both ways. Burrow, you know, is going to start because they got rid of Andy Dalton. So this guy is assured of being their starter. We don't know if Tua's going to start. You got Fitzpatrick still there. He finished up strong last year. Many feel that Tua will learn under Fitzpatrick, at least for the get-go. So you don't even know if he's going to start. There was a concern about his health issues and things like that. And you know Burrow's going to start, all things considered, because he's the only really established – not he's not established yet, but he's the only quarterback. You draft him number one, you're going to stick him right in there. You would think that that would be enough to get the domino effect going for his jersey.
Yeah. Maybe – I think maybe it's that whole they have not had a legitimate quarterback in Miami since Marino kind of thing. I mean, as much as I like Cleo Lemon, my guess is not a whole lot of jerseys were flying off the rack. But it does surprise me that two of his jerseys are the top two.
I still would have thought, if you said to me, Brady, because Brady was the big story, he goes to Tampa. Wow, we can get the initial Tampa Brady uniform and
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah, but how many people are Brady and fans and how many people aren't, right? He's part of that evil empire, and I could see...
What about a Belichick hoodie? Do those sell?
I don't know if his hoodie's any different than any
Hey, speaking
other
about the Patriots, you see where Robert Kraft has donated his Super Bowl ring from the win over the Atlanta Falcons, the game where they came back 28-3, and they won. So this is all part of that challenge to raise money to feed the needy during COVID-19. So what the deal is, Mark, he's put up his ring. Okay, that's one thing. Then you get to meet him in his Gillette Stadium office. Now, let's say you live out in Montana, or let's say you live out in Mississippi. No problem. He's sending his private plane to go get you and bring you to Gillette Stadium.
Massages for everybody.
There you go. And right now, as this thing is being auctioned off, they're up over $600,000. So
crazy.
If you've got some money you want to throw away.
Someone made a great point, by the way. Hawaii is... All of Hawaii is buying two jerseys.
Oh, is that
too.
What it is?
That's got to be what
All
it
right.
is.
That's fine. That's fair. That's
so
very
he's got
fair.
He's got three markets.
So are Dolphin games going to be broadcast in Hawaii like Alabama games were? I would say yes.
Okay, then. Nothing like answering your own questions.
Speaking about the Tagovailoa family, I saw 24/7 is posted odds. University of Miami is the favorite to land Talia with Maryland second and Florida Atlantic third right now. They actually stuck Auburn in the top 10. I don't see that happening.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just absurd. I don't know anything about odds, but I know enough to know he is not going to Auburn, and those odds are not even worth it.
I think he's going where his family is, and that'll be in Miami.
All right, stay with us. Baseball next.
You have to be invited, and so fortunately I know a number of members there, and I'm going to be my wife and I just bought a lot fairly close there. It's only about 10-15 minutes away, and so it would be a great place to play and practice.
All right, it's 6:34 here on this Tuesday edition. It's the opening kickoff. We're just rolling along.
So was Phil Mickelson on the Dan Patrick Show, and the question was, because he was asked if he ever played golf with Michael Jordan. I think he said he did many, many years ago, but he is, as he just explained, he's going to join the golf club that Michael belongs to down there in Florida. This segment is brought to you by EMR Southern Recycling by calling them at 432-8550. You can get a free estimate and local pickup options for them to come out. And what they do, they'll come out and they will recycle any copper fittings, old pipes, broken appliances, and they'll come out there and they'll take dump truck loads full. So you can clean out your basement, you can clean out your garage, and they'll pay you money. That's all to help better the environment. At EMR, they realize the importance of recycling and that resources don't last forever. So they strive to repurpose all metal. So that's a pretty good deal. You clean out the junk you don't want, or maybe they don't consider that, but broken down appliances. And EMR Southern Recycling, they come out and take care of it and give you money for it. They're located at 114 Industrial Canal Road East in Mobile. Get a free estimate by calling them at 432-8550. Let's talk some baseball now with Bernie Carbo. Bernie, I trust everything's well with you and your family. Good morning.
Good morning, Lee and Mark. Yeah, I'm very well. I'm doing really well. Thank you so much.
So if you're still playing baseball today and you get this proposal from the Major League Baseball owners to get the season going, an 82-game schedule, DH, National American League, you play teams in your own division for the entire schedule or the equivalent of the American League, rosters are expanded, but there's a 50-50 revenue sharing. Do you approve it or not?
Well, I approve playing, but I don't know about the 50-50 on the revenue. I expect to get paid my guaranteed contract, and I want to play baseball. I want to see sports, but I want to say, you know, NFL, NBA, hockey, and everything else that we love to watch, you know, on TV or be able to attend or whatever. I want to see, you know, the great sports being played, but I think baseball is coming back, but I think they're going to have a difficult time with the 50% revenue split and everything like that. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but I would love to see baseball come back and all the sports and be able to play and enjoy ourselves to watch a game and instead of watching reruns when we know the outcome.
All right, let me throw this at you and tell me where I'm right or wrong, okay? Here's my gut feeling. If this gets rejected and this becomes a contentious issue between the owners and the players and it becomes public because nobody else has anything to write about that's happening, how do you hope that the public will buy into this, the way this thing is going where people are suffering financially, where their next meal's coming from, and you don't get baseball started because of a money fight? I think it'll kill baseball myself.
I agree 100%, you know, but, you know, why is baseball taking MLB and taking advantage of the situation that we're living in? I mean, people are wanting and willing to go to work. I want to go to work. I'm bored. I need to do something, but the fact is that I'm in agreement with you. You know, it's anytime you have to deal with money or anything like that, and it's they're already making enough money, making so much money that people are kind of become offensive to when you're making so much money that even us as retired ball players, and we look back, they make more money in one pitch, one time at bat than we did in a year, or and in our career, they made more money. So I'm in agreement with you. Yeah, there'll be people who are very offensive to the fact that that is the reason they're not going to play. So, yeah, I'm in agreement.
Yeah, because you basically have billionaires fighting millionaires, and people are in their houses wondering if they can make their mortgage payment or their apartment payment and so forth with 30 million people, give or take, unemployed. Bernie, to the lighter side of baseball, interesting story. I don't know if it was true or not. Some guy named Joe Jammer said he was a groundskeeper in Montreal, said that when Pete Rose was playing for the Expos, that he would go to the opposing dugout into a little office or whatever and have his bat corked. You know Pete pretty well. You've played baseball for 14 years or whatever. Cork bats? Did it happen?
Well, the thing it did happen. And the reason it happened is because when you went into different clubhouses in different cities, you walk in and you see a big lathe. And the lathe was the purpose of putting a bat in it, drilling into the bat and putting cork. But I think, okay, so he said he drilled the bat because there were bats being drilled on every clubhouse that a lot of the clubhouses I went into. Major League Baseball knew it. The ownership knew it. You had a big piece of machinery drilling into a bat, and they were drilling bats and weren't even telling you they were drilling a bat. So if he used a bat, he might have did it without even knowing. But the fact is, scientific and all the experiments that you do with these bats that they were doing, you hollow out a piece of wood, and they find out by making a bat and putting cork in it, didn't make the bat, the ball go any further or any harder off the bat. As a matter of fact, it made the wood weaker so it'd break easier. But the fact is they've got a bat out there now. Is a maple bat, which is coated. It's the hardest wood that you can get and make a bat. And that one, when they made it, was exploding because they took so much moisture out of it. And with the technology they have today, they leave the moisture in it. They coat it with a hard plastic. And the maple bat, the ball goes farther, faster, and off the bat. It's a great baseball bat that they made to hit home runs and hit for an average and hit the ball harder and farther. But the cork bat, they were corking bats. We didn't even know they were corking.
Did you ever use a cork bat?
Well, I tried it. As a matter of fact, I tried the cork bat. And I was sitting with Pee-wee Reese, and he worked for Louisville Slugger. And I said, you know, here's the cork bat that's being made. I said, can you test that and find out if it's any better or whatever? I said, because it breaks really easy, but it doesn't seem, I think the white ash bat that we were using was much better. But it didn't work. Anytime you hollow out a piece of wood, it's going to make it weaker. So to say, yeah, people used it, but to find out the fact is that with technology and everything else, it's just a worthless bat.
Yeah, and I can't help but overlook the Sammy Sosa incident with the cork bat. So in your opinion, it's really much to do about nothing?
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you walk in the clubhouse and you look in when I got – walk in the clubhouse in Cleveland, and they have a lathe in there, and I'm looking at bats they're corking. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, you're corking bats without even our permission. You're taking my bat and corking it, and you didn't even ask me. So the Major League Baseball ownership and everything else, it was to create something that was false, and they thought it's like a pitcher who has a razor blade in his glove or has a slippery elm or has sandpaper in his glove where he scratches the ball so it makes it sink and everything like that, stealing signs and doing all the things that they do in baseball to see if they can win more games, hit the ball farther and hit more for an average or whatever. But if you look at Pete Rose in Montreal, it was the end of his career. He had 259, had less than 300 at-bats, didn't hit any home runs, so it didn't make him any more powerful. And if he did use a cork bat, it might have been where the clubhouse man, yes, you corked it, you gave it to him, but you didn't say anything, and he might have used the bat. So it's a flip of the coin, and knowing Pete Rose 36 years ago, he didn't need it. He didn't need to use a cork bat. None of us needed to because it didn't work.
Bernie Carbo is joining us quickly. One last question. Are you watching South Korean baseball?
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. I came up with a great idea. They're painting faces on the seats. I said, put mannequins in the ballparks, dress them, selling hot dogs and beer, and mannequins with little kids dressed up in their favorite uniform number, and have fans out there and dress them up, put different kind of haircuts on them and different kind of clothes, and have the crowd yelling and screaming and yelling hot dogs and whatever. So put mannequins out there, dress them up, and let us watch baseball.
Can't thank you enough, Bernie. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your South Korean baseball, which is going on right now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys stay safe and still stay healthy. And love hearing you guys on 105.5. Love it.
Thank you.
All right, it's 6:44. We're going to come back and we'll do our spring sports segment. Arthur Cox, Baldwin County Softball, will join us. Travis Ryer of Bama Online at 7:05. We'll talk to Larry Thomas, formerly of the Birmingham Barons. Played with Michael Jordan in the summer of 94. We'll do that at 7:35. Reggie Copeland, former official, being inducted into yet another Hall of Fame. He's probably done as much for the Mobile area as anybody. Especially when it comes to sports. We'll talk to Reggie coming up at 8:05 and Orlando Alzagari at 8:35. Jam-packed. Mike Tyson appears to be coming out of retirement. If there is one athlete you wish would come out of retirement and play at his peak physical ability, who would it be? Hit us up in the app at WNSP.com. We'll share it on the air when we come back. It's the opening kickoff right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Hey, this is Amari Cooper. You're listening to Sports Radio WNSP. We'll be right back. Yeah, well, I truly think, I said this last year, I think it's a one-year-at-a-time deal at this point. When you get to 38 and you've played as long as I have, and also, you know, I'm under a one-year contract. So I think you just take it 1 year at a time. I've expressed publicly, the Colts have shared that sentiment too, that we hope it's more than 1 year. But I think it's 1 year at a time.
All right, it's 6:49. Welcome in. Wrapping up hour number one of the opening kickoff. Mark Heim and Lee Shervanian with you from the studios of WNSP.
It was announced last week that Philip Rivers, who you just heard from, becomes the coach in waiting at St. Michael's. Ben Thomas of AL.com reports that the Viger new coach is John McKenzie, who's been in the coaching business for over 30 years and is leaving Kemper County High School in Mississippi to take over the Viger Wolves program. And we have a coach on the line with us right now because it's time for our spring sports report, brought to you by Crane Works, Ward International Trucks, Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry, Dixie Supply, Nidrolics Guaranteed Title, Community Bank, and Driscoll Turf Farm. And I do want to welcome in Anthony Cox, the softball coach at Baldwin County. Anthony, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Lee. How you doing?
Good. As you and I talked, very, you know, obviously very disappointed, as any coach would be, that your season came to an abrupt end, but even more so for you, because I believe you told me that that would be the end, that you would be coaching your daughter in softball. This was her final year?
Yes, correct, Lee. Yes, definitely disappointed and sad for the seniors. And, you know, my daughter's one of those seniors. Get a chance to repeat and make it back to the regionals and to the state tournament as last year. So, you know, we had four seniors this year. Just like to name them off, if you don't mind. Lana McCaskill, Ashlyn Wasden, Adrian Cook, and my daughter, Bailey Cox.
Is she going to continue playing softball in college?
Yes. Luckily, you know, she had an opportunity. She signed early back in November with Northwest Florida State College out of Niceville, Florida, and looking forward to her having a great opportunity to play college softball.
How was this team performing until it was abruptly called to an end? Were you guys off to a pretty good start?
Well, yeah, we kind of started off a little slow. We're coming off of that state tournament team where I had four seniors off last year's team, and we started off a little slow, ran into some good competition, Baker and Fairhope and Satsuma, but we started picking it up. We had some big victories versus Daphne and Sarah Land, and actually we only played like 11 games. We were 6-5 at the time. We were ranked number 6 in the state, and you know the kids was just starting to play well.
So Anthony, what are you doing during this quarantine time?
Just spending a lot of time with family. My wife has made me into a chef. I'm doing most of the cooking now. Doing a lot of cleaning and washing and things like that. But I just enjoying time being with the wife and kids, and you know, I just hate. I miss my kids, and just been texting them and talking to them on the phone and things like that.
Do you go out and play catch with your daughter in the backyard or front yard?
Yeah, her older sister does that a lot.
So, what's your specialty now as a chef?
I like to get on the grill, the little ribs and chicken and things like that.
So, as you said, you have four seniors, so you should have a pretty good nucleus returning next season when this thing gets started again?
Yes, we're pretty young besides those seniors. I had seven starters, which were freshmen and sophomores. So, and then my JV group, we actually won two of the tournaments. We came in first and second place in those JV tournaments. So we got a good group of kids coming back. And excited about the 2021 season.
I'll bet. Now you've coached football before, right?
Yes, I did. I coached back with Coach Ford back in '99, and then when Coach French got there in 2001, and also with Coach Wofford. So it's been about 10 years since I coached, but we had some great seasons during those times.
How about a comment about Scott Riles coming over to coach Baldwin County's football program?
Yeah, looking forward to meeting Coach Rouse. I didn't have a chance to meet him yet, but heard some great things about him, and I'm looking forward to hopefully he'll get things keep going the momentum that Coach McDaniels had.
Hey, Anthony, if the NFL season gets started okay and they have the Colts on and you're seeing Philip Rivers and then thinking, hey, this guy's going to be coaching here in Baldwin County in a couple of years.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was a great hire for St. Michael's. You know, definitely when you get a professional athlete to one day come take over your program, you know, it's a great for Baldwin County as well.
Anthony, I really appreciate you taking time to join us. We'll check in with you and stay healthy.
All right, thank you.
All right, the Spring Sports Report brought to you by Farmers Insurance of the Pullen Agency, Spectrum Collision, Island Wing Company, Home Hardware of Daphne, Assist to Sell, LNS Air Conditioning.
So we asked you on the heels of this whole Mike Tyson thing and Mike Tyson releasing a video of him doing a little work and looking pretty violent, actually, while he does it, saying he's back. We've asked you guys, if there is one athlete that could come back for one day that you could watch in his prime, who would it be? A couple of the folks said Kenny Stabler, Dan Marino, Patrick Willis, Andrew Luck. I went with Bo Jackson and Magic Johnson.
I have three.
Okay.
And not necessarily in any order. Joe Namath,
okay.
Jim Brown, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
It doesn't have to be in any particular order. Those were three that I can tell you that I was glued to watching. I didn't really get to see Bo Jackson that much. I'm referring to Namath when he was quarterbacking the Jets. I didn't get to see him except for one game when he was with Alabama. Jim Brown, I thought, was the greatest running back I've ever seen. So those three in any order would be nice.
I would watch Bo Jackson in college or NFL. Healthy, of
baseball
course.
Or football?
Football. Not wasting my time with baseball.
He had some great moments in baseball.
Right. Yeah, no, not doing that. No, I would do football.
You wouldn't lower yourself
so
to watch
who would,
baseball.
I'd watch a good baseball movie. Someone said Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt was... look, I'm not taking anything away from Wilt Chamberlain, but basically he was a very easy player to describe. He just stood around the basket and just put the ball back in. And he was so tall and so big and everything. I mean, it wasn't like watching him drive to the basket or he didn't. I mean, he did what he had to do, but he wasn't that exciting to watch because basically, you know, he was the big center and he did what centers do. I don't think they had the dunk in those days. I'm trying to remember if they did or not, but that's fine.
Who would be your... If you had to pick one Auburn player while at Auburn, one Alabama player while at Alabama to see play again, who would it be?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, I can't discount Bo Jackson.
I think Bo would be my pick for both Auburn and in general.
And are you talking about ever since I came here, like in the 80s, to see who?
In the 1800s, yeah.
In the 1800s?
Yeah, dude.
It'd be Namath.
Namath?
Yeah.
Okay, Namath. I'm not sure who I'd want to see play again for Alabama.
See, I didn't see him. I only saw him in one game, that Orange Bowl game, in his last game before he became the quarterback for the Jets.
Part of me says Sean Alexander, but there have been such a string of great running backs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if his – I mean, he's certainly one of the great ones, but I'm not sure, you know, if watching him play is any more impressive than watching, say, Derrick Henry run people over or run by people.
How old is Sean now? He's still a pretty young guy.
I think when you're referring mid 40s.
Yeah, you're referring to athletes who, you know, 50s, 60s who, you know,
he's
obviously
42 could, years old.
Well, Frank Gore's still running the ball for the Jets at 37.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sean, but he's just so recent, I guess. I'm looking beyond that. That's what I thought your inference
Pete
was.
Pete Rose, MJ, Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders is a pretty good one. Joe Montana, Julio with Tua at Alabama. Be interesting. All right, coming up in maybe we'll ask Travis Ryer. He's going to join us next from Bama Online. Larry Thomas.